Thanks very much, Keir. Thanks very much, brothers and sisters. And I believe today has been a great success. The people I've spoken to on the way in have told me that it has been a fantastic event, and an event that hopefully will become an annual event, and an event that can grow from strength to strength and bring all of those within our community together who believe quite fundamentally that regardless of one's religion, regardless of one's skin colour, regardless of one's creed, that we promote that most important fact of life, that we are all part of the one race, the human race. That's the type of message that we have to be willing to promote in relation to the G8 summit, in relation to the protests that should greet that G8 summit. Those reservoir dogs of multinational capital who will come together in July have to be reminded that the problems that confront our world today, the grinding poverty, the 30,000 lost lives a day, is not part of a natural course of events. There is nothing natural about world poverty. It is man-made, and that can be man-unmade as well. In preparation for today's event, I checked back a story that I read first in the fantastic book by Paul Foote, Articles of Resistance. Fantastic book that I would encourage any of you to try and get hold of. And in the course of that book, Paul tells the story of the real slave revolts. The slave revolts that engulfed Africa from 1791. And in the course of his story, he tells us about Toussaint, someone who I had never heard of, a 46-year-old coachman, black man who, unlike those whom he led, was able to read and write, had some basic knowledge of first aid, and was the erstwhile leader of the slave revolts that engulfed Saint Dominique in 1789. And some of you will recognise, and I may even have mispronounced Saint Dominique, but some of you may recognise the name Saint Dominique. It's very appropriate to remind us at a conference of this nature of the history of Saint Dominique. In 1789, Saint Dominique was described as the richest country in the world. The richest country in the world. Saint Dominique in 1789 produced sugar and cotton and coffee and indigo and tobacco. In fact, at that time of 1789, Saint Dominique was responsible for 2/3 of the national wealth of France. Two of the main cities in France, Nantes and Bordeaux, were entirely dependent on the production from Saint Dominique. The reason that story of Saint Dominique is so important is because at that time I had 30,000 whites, 40,000, as was described in those days, as mulattoes of mixed race, and 500,000 black African slaves. And it was that 500,000 black African slaves who produced the wealth of Saint Dominique. And in the course of the 6-year period from 1789 to 1797, national production in Saint Dominique doubled. But every single year, 11% of the slave population died, either from exertion, from the slave toll of work, or from the repression of those who brutally and savagely kept the slaves in their place. It wasn't until 1791 there was a revolt. A revolt that began on the 14th of August of 1791 and began a 12-year war of resistance of St. Dominique to overthrow its imperial visitors who had exploited its wealth for so long. The reason it's important, this story, is because St. Dominique is no longer that country that was the richest place on earth of 1789, is now known as Haiti. And of course, Haiti is one of the poorest, most richest places on earth now. Nothing natural about that, brothers and sisters. You see, in 1789, it was the richest place on earth. In 2005, it's the poorest place on earth. Haiti shouldn't be a poor country, but it is, because of the unfair way our world is divided, because of those rich countries in the world who are determined to continue to super exploit the poor nations of this earth to extract as much profit as possible, not to spread the wealth of our nation, not to spread the wealth of our world. On the contrary, if you consider the last two decades, the last 20 years on this planet has saw a reversal in wealth distribution across our world. Instead of the gap between the rich and the poor closing, it's actually getting larger. And that is because of the social and economic system that dominates this planet. That is because of those G8 nations of the world who are determined not only to hold what they have got, but to try and increase their wealth and influence and power on the basis of the subjugation of other nations across the world. Brothers and sisters, that's why the G8 protests are so important. We have to tell these reservoir dogs of capital when they come to Gleneagles in July loud and clear that they are exposed. They are exposed for the complicity they have for the 30,000 lost lives a day. Nothing natural about it. There is no problem in relation to solving the problems of malaria, the problems of TB, the problems of diarrhea. These are not natural problems. They are products of poverty. And if we want to save those lives, brothers and sisters, then we're going to have to abolish poverty in the same way as Toussaint and the slave armies of 1791 had to abolish slavery. Brothers and sisters, I think this conference today should be prepared, should be courageous enough to adopt the slogan that yes, we want to make poverty history. But if we really want to make poverty history, then we're going to have to make capitalism history as well. Thanks very much.